Hello, Rundown Nation. I'm Woj.
And I'm Walt.
And welcome to the College Football Rundown. We are into the last week of regular season. Right before we hit the championship week, we got Turkey Week this week. We got games on Friday. We got games on Saturday. We got our last big game that we talked about preseason, Ohio State versus Michigan. And it's a big one, Walt. But exciting. It's coming to an end, though, Walt. That's not exciting.
No, man. It's just like yesterday. We are bringing in the season, Woj. I mean, it feels like yesterday, and now it's the last week of the season. It's bittersweet, but it is exciting because we got some great games. You mentioned it was Turkey Day. I bet you we got some people eating their Thanksgiving meal. Listen to the rundown. What do you think, Woj?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'll be eating my turkey with some rundown, that's for sure. last week's rundown, Wall, was a hell of a rundown. The league had five people over 200 points, four of which beat the previous high, which was set by Story last week. And one of those people was Story. So awesome to see so many people scoring a lot of points in the rundown league. Walrus ended up taking with 229.80 points. You know, Walt, the name of our episode was the stack, and we talked about stacking against Michigan State with those Ohio players, and he did it. Took C.J. Stroud, Smith Najiba, and Wilson Stack, scored 108.48 points for 223 per point. If you were to stack all four of the Ohio State players, so you're talking all three receivers in Olave, Wilson, and Smith, and Stroud, it would have paid out 211.7 per point, Wall. That's nuts. It would have set you back in your salary, as it would have been $30,600. But that's nuts. We knew they were going to do it. Michigan State's a terrible defense, and Ohio State just keeps rolling. And I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, Wall, you finished in second with 227.7 points. It's a big week, Wall. Did you enter in any other contests?
No, Woj, I didn't do any. I just crushed the rundown. That's how I roll. Well, I will say, man, Walrus, he's hot, Woj. I told you a few weeks ago, you got to watch out for this guy. He's winning everything lately.
Yeah, it was a close battle, too, all the way through it. I finished in third with 220.20, and Story finished right behind me at 219.10. So all of us really within 10 points. It was pretty good to see, pretty fun. Great lineup. Walrus also did have O'Connell and Wright from Purdue. Probably another great combo to have again this weekend. They really haven't raised O'Connell's salary much yet, and he just keeps destroying people. So Purdue's figured it out over there. We had the showdown too, Wall, which was fun. We did the Oregon versus Utah game, and you ended up winning with 78.70 points, which I think is good. In a showdown, you had two guys that didn't score any points, but your captain pick was Thomas, and he kind of lit it up well.
It all comes down to the captain pick in that, Woj. And it really, I took him because he was probable. I figured that little red, you know, character next to his name might scare some people away. Worked out for me. Unfortunately, it worked out for me because I lost some coin on Oregon in that one.
Yeah, I saw you take Pledger, too. Not one of your captain picks, but you took both running backs just in case. I actually thought about that early, and I was kind of hesitant on who I wanted to be in my captain, but I went with Oregon. I know Walrus went with Oregon too. He went with Travis Dye in the captain pick. Just didn't work out for Oregon, unfortunately, last weekend, but so it was fun. Nevertheless, we'll definitely probably do that again, maybe during championship weeks in the Big Ten game, hopefully, if they have it up. But season-long leaders, over placements, Wall, you're in first, Story in second, with 2.25, you're at two, and then I'm in third at 2.625. So we're getting real tight there, Wall. I told you I'd make a comeback. Overall points, Story is in first with 1421, you're in second with 1419. Yeah, I said that right. 2 points between you and Story in the best 8 weeks, which is crazy. I'm in third, a ways behind, 90 or so behind with 1330, unfortunately. But I'm still charging. I'm still charging. This week is going to be the Saturday 13 game slate, Wall.
Well, this has to be the last week, though, right, Woj? I mean, this is the last week of the season. Are we continuing it thereafter?
We've done it into championship week the last couple of years, so I think we can go into championship week with that.
Woj, You're moving the goalpost. I bet you if you were sitting in my spot looking at everybody behind you, this would be the last week.
Well, we'll give it to the fans. We'll give them one extra week here to get into those games, right. And maybe makes I can sense. Sneak into that that placement. I'm closer in that than I am in overall points, but who knows? It's the best average over eight, so anything can happen. Big swings, I'm hoping for. Big swings. Maybe I'll score 300 next week and win one of the $1 million tournaments. Well,
I hope you do, Woj. You could split it with me.
Oh, well, that's true. Last week's games, we got Ohio State blowing out Michigan State 56-7. Well, man, we sound like a broken record talking about Ohio State, but they just look like the second best team in college football. And, you know, it turns out they are, because that's what the committee put them at. They put them above Alabama. At this point in the season, well, they always play hard. Ryan Day has that team. He's got some sort of jet propulsion that eventually just gets stronger and stronger throughout the season. It's nuts, but they are firing on all cylinders, and I do really think they are the second best team and probably the best chance to beat Georgia. Well,
yeah, and people have been talking about, myself included, I've been talking about for a couple weeks now in this podcast especially, but Ohio State, Georgia, man, I hope we get that game, because that Ohio State offense is really good. That Georgia defense is really good. Man, that would be a matchup to watch. But I agree with what they got, number one, number two this week, Woj. I'm going to say it. I agree with the playoff committee, you know, as far as number one, number two. But there's 23 numbers after that. I don't know if I agree with. Ohio State, good football team, Woj. I hope we get that Georgia game.
Yep, I hope we do too. And I'll I'm probably going to get some grief for this, but I will be cheering for Ohio State in that game. I did end up putting some money on Ohio State before the Penn State game. I got plus 500 on it, which I thought was pretty decent odds considering the situation and how good they were playing. And I'm confident with my pick now, just the way I saw them play against Penn State and Michigan State now. So we'll see how that turns out. I just wanted to do a little future pick there midseason. I always like doing that midseason to kind of see who the hot team is. But Mullet Man, Quinn Ewers played his first snap for the Buckeyes last weekend in some garbage time. He was the best quarterback prospect coming up in 2020 from high school, and he reclassified and actually enrolled in Ohio State right at the beginning of the season because he was able to. So he's redshirting, I'm sure, but he gets to play at least two games there, and he took a couple snaps. Didn't pass the ball, but nevertheless, man, he's got one hell of a mullet, Wall.
Yeah, he does, Woj. He's going to be the mullet man, like you called him. I mean, they brought him in because they didn't want to burn the red shirts off of the other guys, and this is his first game throwing, so like you said, he'll still keep his red shirt. I don't know. You couldn't really judge anything off of what he played. He didn't play a whole lot, and, you know, the team was just on fire. They could have had you out there, Woj, and they still might have got a touchdown or two.
Yeah, well, maybe not. The other team might have actually – I might have fumbled the ball, and the other team might have ran it back into the end zone. Who knows? But Oregon ends up falling to Utah 38-7. While Oregon just couldn't get the ball in Travis Dye's hands early enough. It felt like they changed their game plan up, you know, since that Cal game. After that Stanford game, they kind of changed it up, and they were getting a lot more passes, and Dye was getting a lot more targets in the game early, those little short – underneath routes they were throwing to him, just getting him the ball in unique ways. And there was only one target to Dye in this game in the air and only six rushing attempts. So I don't know if he just wasn't 100% or what they were doing, but you have to get the ball into your playmaker's hands. Am I wrong?
No, I agree with you. And I was down there at the real Jay-Z's house, actually. I should say over there in Iowa, it is new mansion he's got there. We were watching this game, and I remember sitting there, and I didn't even think that Dye had played in the game. You know, maybe he hadn't even dressed. That's how little I saw him on the field. And like you mentioned, he's by far their best player, and then they get down, they get into this, you know, quicksand of emotion, and they just can't get back. Then they're down by so much that they can't, you know, run the ball. It just doesn't even justify running the ball because they're down by so much. But I really think that game, the reason they lost it so bad anyways, was because of Crystal Ball. He made some awful decisions, Woj. Awful decisions. I don't know if you saw the end of the first half. Utah had all the momentum. He's just take a knee, Woj. Just take a knee. Instead, what does he do?
Yeah.
He turns the ball over. Well, they punted it, so he didn't turn it over technically. They punt the ball. In the punt, it gets returned for a touchdown. And, you know, you got a 21-point swing right there. It was awful coaching, Woj. It was really disappointing. Who knows where Dye was? I don't know what that situation was, but that was a tough game to watch.
Yeah, good coaching on Utah's side there, too. Calling the timeout, making them have to punt the ball. Just because, you know, if they have to punt the ball, that gives them a chance to return it. So heads up play on Utah there. Yeah, but Cristobal, I'm not quite sure what was going on there. Not good situations, not getting the ball in Dye's hands. Ever since that Stanford game, they've been getting him consistently 6 targets a game. And for him to just get 1 target and then only 6 rushes in the game, like, if you're down, I get it, you're down by so much, but if that's not working, you have to try something new. Give it to Dye. Try to make it happen with him. I mean, he's your playmaker. If you can't get it out of the backfield, try to get a few more targets to him, but got to get your playmaker the ball. Cincinnati finally makes a statement wall over SMU 48-14. You know, I don't know if it's that big of a statement in my mind, just because I know Houston beat SMU as well, and Houston's ranked 24th, so I don't know if the playoff committee really views it that. I don't know. But nevertheless, Cincinnati did make a statement game. They did beat them by quite a bit, but I'm still not sold. But they're in the top 4. Well,
I am sold, Woj. I've been sold. I think this was just a game for them to lose their spot, not to gain it. But as it turns out, they did gain it. I really like Cincinnati late. I mean, you have them go against Georgia or Ohio State, Woj, I agree with you. I don't think they're going to beat either one of those two teams. But having said that, I don't think anybody in the nation right now beats either one of those two teams. So, hey, I think they could still be a top 4 team above Michigan or Notre Dame. That's kind of the question mark. Maybe you throw Oklahoma State in there, and that's who they're fighting with. I like where they are. I think they've proved themselves. They don't have a loss on the season. If you guys were listening to the rundown last week, won some good money on this one, right, Woj, with the Cincinnati over? First team total of the year, and, man, we hit it good.
Yeah, yeah, so definitely.
I like Cincinnati for that reason, too.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week in the playoffs, or as far as the rankings go, just because if we're going to get an Alabama-Georgia SEC championship game, and Alabama, in my mind, I already see them losing that game. If they lose that game, do you really kick Alabama out to let Cincinnati and, say, a Notre Dame, or I guess the winner of the Oklahoma State-Oklahoma game? I don't know. It's a crazy world. I don't know how Cincinnati fits into it. Do they ever? I think they're in now. As long as they win next week in their championship game, they're in. Well, I think they're in. Are they not?
Yeah, the playoff committee set them up for that scenario. The only thing, I mean, Notre Dame is a wild card, Woj, and you also have Oklahoma State. They don't. Not only are they gonna play Baylor and Oklahoma. I mean, that's two really good teams, so you never know if they can jump up there. But, I mean, yeah, they're, as of now, the playoff committee put them in a position where they're in. And I think, Woj, if Alabama loses to Georgia, it's already locked in, they're playing in the SEC championship. But if Alabama loses to Georgia, there's absolutely no reason Alabama should be in the playoffs. Absolutely no reason. So, yes, I do think that Cincinnati should be in above them specifically, the other scenarios notwithstanding.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And the way Alabama's played this season, I think that's correct. But I would just hate – I think Alabama is a better team than, like, a Notre Dame or something if Notre Dame were to somehow be in the realm of getting into the top 4. I just see even an Alabama that lost to a Georgia, I think is still better than that Notre Dame team. And that's just what will make the interesting look after this week and possibly next week then. But let's move on to this week's games. We got Florida State, who's 5-6 at Florida. Who's 5-6? 11 a.m. on ESPN, Wall.
This one. Man, did it jump out at me, Woj. It hit me in the face like, wow. Florida in this game, -2.5 as it stands now. Over under of 59. Florida is only -130 on the money line, Woj. This one, it opened at -10. And I will say that's what I'm told by people. I never actually saw that number. I saw it down at -8.5. So regardless, it's moved quite a bit. It's moved the touchdown about. I don't know. The Dan Mullen news, it shifted this line some. You got some public money, obviously, coming in on Florida State. You know, Woj, I just can't believe this line, really. It's unbelievable to me. I have to take Florida in this game, Woj. And I don't like to say like that, emphatically, because any team can win any day. And I could be wrong, obviously, but if you look at Florida's schedule, they lost to Alabama, which that's a good football team, as we were just talking about. They lost to Kentucky, but they were at Kentucky. They lost to LSU, but they were at LSU. They lost to Georgia, which every team in the nation is going to lose to Georgia. South Carolina, that's the one bad loss they have. But again, they were at South Carolina. So they've drawn some bad scheduling this year. I really think this Florida team is good. I don't think that news of Dan Mullen leaving it should really shift things too much. Maybe the players are going to be thinking elsewhere, Woj. I've heard rumors of Bob Stoops coming in there. Don't know if you heard those rumors.
Yeah, that'd be a good spot for Bob Stoops. Well,
Yeah, everybody. I mean, a lot of people would want this Florida coaching gig, but as it stands now, Greg Knox is going to take over. He's one of the assistant coaches. He's going to be the head coach for this one. Mullen turned down the opportunity this week, Woj, to coach his team. I'll remind you, these two teams are rivalry teams, obviously. We've got Florida State, Florida. They're playing for a chance at a bowl, and Mullen turns down the opportunity to coach the guys that he's brought up through this program. I mean, it's pathetic. It's absolutely disgusting. So I'm glad he's out of that program. I think it might help him, but I really like Florida in this game. I'm going to be putting some money on it right now. I'll be putting the money line and the points. I think they take down this, mediocre Florida State team at best.
yeah, there's some interesting play here possibly in DFS in Emory Jones. So there's contradicting reports whether he'll play or not. There was one report that said Andrew Richardson would play, and then all of a sudden there was a report Emory Jones is healthy and will probably be playing. So it's something to keep an eye on, but this is one of those things that this jumps out at me. Florida State's not that great. Emory Jones is that dual threat quarterback. He's only 6,300. And he's playing against, again, Florida State, whose defense that gives up the second most points per game to a quarterback on the slate in 24.3. So as much as Emory Jones has been inconsistent, he's scored big points versus pretty bad teams. And I feel like Florida is better than Florida State in a lot of aspects of this, but Emory Jones has been inconsistent, but they're playing against Florida State, second most points per game versus a quarterback, 24.3 on a slate. I mean, that's per game, excuse me. That just screams out at me. So at 6,300, just keep your eyes on who's playing. It's probably not going to be named until pregame warmups, but keep your eyes on it. It's probably going to be tough to do a roster swap at that point because you're probably going to be swapping a more expensive quarterback, so you're gonna have to be shifting money around all over the place. But keep an eye on it if you want to take Emory Jones. I think it's worth a try, especially in a multi-entry tournament. But what do you think, Will?
Well, I think that the 11 a.m. help starts, Woj, because you get that benefit of having a late swap on an early game, so it you get benefit of taking somebody later and switching your roster around completely. I think that helped you out specifically to that point. But I'd rather have Emory Jones, as I'm betting on Florida in this game. I'd rather have Emory Jones in the pocket. But if he's not, it's not really going to change my opinion too much. Richardson, I think he can step in and get it done too. So I mean, from a DFS point, yeah, Emory Jones all day, Woj.
All right, on to probably one of the biggest games, if not the biggest game of the weekend. Ohio State, number 2, 10-1, at number 5, Michigan, 10-1, 11 a.m. on Fox, while Ohio State heading to the Big House.
Yep. Woj, we got a good one here, buddy. We got a good one. We knew day one, before the season started, Woj, we knew this was going to be a humdinger, and it is. It's a humdinger. And this game, Woj, I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you follow the Big Ten, if you pay any attention to them, but this is pretty crucial to who goes to the Big Ten championship. Nope.
Yeah, this is a big one. Yeah, Michigan wins, they go. Ohio State wins, they go. And they're gonna this is exciting. Just because of how good Ohio State's been playing. Michigan's got a chip on their shoulder. They're ready to go. They scored 50 some points last week. So this is gonna be exciting. It's two different styles of teams though, Wall.
It is. And I mean, there were some plays that I saw Ohio State run last week that were definitely to get Michigan thinking when they're watching film this week, which is it's so interesting, when you actually like look into it and you pay attention to things like this, which I can't remember who was doing the commentating in that game last week, the Ohio State Oregon game, but they were talking about, oh, why would you run that play and show it to Ohio State? Well, they're doing it, or show it to Michigan, excuse me. They're doing it because they want Michigan to see that, so Michigan doesn't overcommit on something. It's such a game of chess. It's a back and forth, and I love that behind the scenes stuff, Woj. But as far as these two teams, you got Ohio State -7.5, -8, depending on what book you're looking at, over under a 64.5, Michigan +250. I mean, it's hard. It's hard in this game to take Michigan. I mean, I want Michigan to win this one, which might surprise even you, Woj. I want Michigan to win this game, but it's really hard at this point in the season, especially after last week, to put money against Ohio State. It's so hard, Woj.
It's hard to put money on Jim Harbaugh.
like to rip on that guy, Woj.
In Michigan's one loss this season, which was to Michigan State, at halftime, I texted our little group chat, and I said, because Michigan had the lead by 20-some points at that point, and I was like, I don't even think Harbaugh can hardball this one. And sure enough, he did. It's just Jim Harbaugh. He has a problem beating Ohio State, and it has a problem in big games like this and coaching it. And I mean, yeah, it's the players in the field, but like you said, Ryan Day is playing a game of chess, and he's winning against Jim Harbaugh consistently. So, you know, there's players Ohio State are going to have to watch out for. Aiden Hutchinson off the edge for Michigan, who's probably going to be a top 4, top 5 pick in the draft in the upcoming season. You're going to have to find a way to stop him. Double team, do whatever you need to do. He's probably going to get to the court or CJ Stroud at some point, but it's just one of those things that they're going to have to watch out for in play around. Running the ball is going to be tough against Michigan. They've been really good about that. And on top of that, Michigan is not that bad on offense. Like, they can score some points. They're more one-dimensional in the run than they are in the pass, but they can do both. But as far as the run game goes, they're second to none. They're a really good team, and Ohio State's defensive line isn't that good. Their secondary isn't that good. This is a weak Ohio State defense, and we've seen that all year. That's their kryptonite. So we'll see what happens. But as far as DraftKings goes in this game, I'm looking at Garrett Wilson. So Garrett Wilson is only 7,400. He's cheaper than both of the other wide receivers on Ohio State, which makes no sense to me because he's in the last 2 weeks, he's scored more than them by a mile. So here's my theory, is they're likely doing this on DraftKings end because of Daxton Hill, the shutdown corner for Michigan, who's also going to be a first round draft pick for Michigan. They get multiple defenders in that category on defense, but I'm not worried about that because Garrett Wilson is slated to be number 3 in the NFL draft. And on top of that, the first two wide receivers off the board right now on the big board are both from Ohio State. It's Wilson and Olave. So where are you going to put Daxton Hill? Are you going to put him on Olave or Wilson? So I like Wilson in this one, especially at 7,400, being the cheaper options out of all of them. He is the go-to guy for CJ Stroud, especially in the end zone. So at that price point, it's too hard not to go for it with the amount of points that they're slated to score in this game and the over-under. So I think it's a bargain. It's a no-brainer going with Garrett Wilson this week at 7,400. Well,
yeah, I like that. I mean, I like you bringing up Daxton Hill too. I mean, he's a great cornerback. You know, I'd love to see that either Wilson or Olave matched up against Hankins. I'm sure you know Hankins from Iowa, which is another good cornerback. Mm-hmm. But you love watching those good cornerback wide receiver matchups. But this whole game has got, you know, good players matched up on both sides of the ball. It's going to be exciting, Woj. It's in the big house, Woj. You mentioned it's in the big house. It's going to be on Fox. Who's going to be calling this one?
Little Gus Johnson action, Wall.
You know it. You know what I mean. Oh, you got to be excited for this one. I'll leave my money on the table.
I just can't wait for CJ Stroud. CJ yep. Stroud.
To Chris Olave. You do it better than I do, Woj. But that's what you're going to be hearing, likely a couple times at least. Hopefully Michigan can get it done on their side. I'm going blue on this one. Go blue. But, you know, I'm not keeping my money in my wallet, Woj.
All right. Moving on. We got number 18, Wake Forest, who's 9-2, lost to that Clemson team last week, who's now back in the top 25 at 23. They're going to be playing at Boston College, who's 6-5, 11 a.m. on ESPN2, Wall.
Yeah, and I mean, Woj, we've been giving Clemson a lot of shit. I should say you've been giving them more shit than I have.
Yeah.
But everybody in the nation, for that matter, and I'm not saying that I thought they were a great team by any means, but everybody in the nation has been giving them shit. But now, when we look back at their record, at their losses, which they lost to Georgia, which, you know, that was week one. Any team in the nation is going to lose to Georgia as far as Clemson. You know, they're going to lose that game.
That's true.
Then they lost to NC State and Pitt. I mean, those are two good teams they lost to. So they're that Clemson team, man, don't count them out of being in a good bowl or winning a good bowl. They're a pretty good team. But this Wake Forest Boston College game, Moj, you know why I want to talk about this one? Because probably, I don't know, three weeks ago, I think they had North Carolina. So 4 weeks ago, everybody in the nation was talking about how Wake Forest should be like one of the top four teams in the nation. And this is something I said on this show, said it a couple times at least. Wake Forest is not a good football team. They shouldn't even be in the top 10, maybe not even the top 20. And now the proof is in the pudding, Moj. You got Wake Forest playing Boston College, and they're only -4.5. You know, that's a line against a mediocre Boston College football team. So that North Carolina bet, you know, we did 3 weeks ago, one of, you know, maybe one or two bets a season, you actually win it because you know something. That was one of them. Was we knew that Wake Forest was not that good of a football team. At least I should say I did. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but those are the ones that win your season. So I'm really happy about this. I'm glad it's come to fruition. I'm glad the proof is in the pudding. I hope they lose to Boston College, which I don't respect this football team at all.
Hey, Walt, you know, if we got to talk about Boston or Wake Forest and Boston College, we got to talk about Wake Forest's quarterback, Sam Hartman. Would he be a good play? Not so fast from Lee Corso. Boston College gives up 61.3 plays per game, third best in the slate. That's not a lot of plays per game if you're talking about plays per game here. Most of the time it's in the 70s. Sometimes you get some teams in the 80s. If you're Michigan State, it's in the 90s. That's alarming when the price tag for Sam Hartman is $9,300. Some people are going to see that $9,300 and be like, whoa, he's not $10,000. This is a great price. It's not. Boston College, again, plays per game. They slow down the game. That Hartman needs time to score all those points and get those crazy numbers to get even with value at 9,300. There's better quarterback options in this slate without having to break the bank. Spend your cash in other places, Walt.
I love it, Woj. I love that because it goes for college basketball too. You hear this saying in college basketball, but it's true for football too. It's easier to slow down a fast team than to speed up a slow team. So Boston College, with their clock control and their clock management, I think you're dead on, Woj. And we could be wrong. You know, anything can happen on any Saturday. So maybe it goes off, but it's somebody I'd stay away from for sure for that exact reason, Woj.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. We got another big one. We got Penn State at number 12, Michigan State, 2:30 p.m. on ABC, Wall.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, Woj. We got some Big Ten games. This one comes after the – I believe it was 2:30. Yeah, this one comes after the Michigan-Ohio State game, and we get a little bit of Big Ten back-to-back. But Penn State -2, over-under of 52. Michigan State on the money line +100. So they're really thinking this is going to be a close one, Woj. And it is at Michigan State, so they're giving Michigan State a little bit of love for the home field advantage, I guess. So normally you'd see probably Penn State over a field goal, maybe if they're playing at home. Franklin got an extension this week, Woj. I'm not sure if you saw that. He got an extension, 10 years, $7.5 million a year. How about them apples?
Hey, they're trying to match the Mel Tucker deal that Michigan State gave to him. I bet Mel Tucker bet he wished we would have signed that contract before the beating by Ohio State last week. But I don't know if the contract's going to change because of that. But I'm just saying.
I mentioned that last week, which is a specific fact that you just talked about. We're going to see a lot of this, you know, these coaches. They're going to get their salaries bumped up because you got some big openings this year, Woj. You got LSU looking for a coach, Florida looking for a coach, USC looking for a coach. All these teams are looking for a coach, which is going to make, you know, the other universities have to pay up to keep their coaches because they're going to be doing some looking, Woj. Let me tell you, they're going to be raising a brow at these teams. This is going to astound you, Woj. This is going to astound you. There are already six public schools paying their head coach over $10 million a year.
That's crazy.
That is insane, Woj. I mean, Jesus, you guys, LSU, Florida, USC, you're looking for a coach, man. You don't got to pay me $10 million. You know, give me a couple bags of Ruffles, maybe a case of Coors Light and some chicken wings. I'll come out there and coach your team. You don't need to pay me $10 million. Can you believe that, Woj? I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, that is, it's pretty wild the lengths that we've gotten to in college football, or how much money these universities are making on it to give coaches this kind of money. I get it in some aspects, whereas some of these coaches are dealing with kids in their growing stages as far as what they want to be in life and if they want to be in the NFL and all that. But let's be real, that's not really the case, Wall. Universities are doing this for their coaches to win as many football games and get them to the playoffs and get the university's money at the end of the year, right?
Yeah, they are. And it all comes down to the conferences too, which is why you see a lot of the coaches in the same conference making close to the same amount of money aside from the bottom feeders. But you're absolutely right, Woj. That's all they're trying to do.
All right. As far as DFS goes in this game, I love this one. And we're just going to keep playing against Michigan State, Walt, because they're terrible on defense. They let out so many yards per game. They are the worst team in college football, like I said, against the pass. They were last week. Duke was ahead of them. They're even further behind Duke now with the Ohio State beatdown. Sean Clifford is only 6,100 this week. Okay, Sean Clifford didn't play last week because he had an illness. Looks like he's going to be back under center this week from Franklin's statements at his press conference. It doesn't matter what quarterback it is. Just pick whatever Penn State quarterback is going to be in there, but I'm going to bet it's going to be Sean Clifford. Anything is good against the secondary like that, Wall. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Let's pair him up with Juwan Dotson, too, his number one receiver at 7,900. It's his go-to guy. Another option other than Dotson would be Parker Washington. He's only 4,100. Thing is, he got 11 targets last week, which is his big week, but that wasn't with Sean Clifford behind center. So keep that in mind if you're thinking about him. He's consistently gotten less targets with Sean Clifford at quarterback, and he's been very streaky. He is cheap, so it could be one of those options in a multi-entry if you need some actual percentage owned in this game, if you need some guys from this game. But Clifford is a no-brainer at 6,100 in my eyes. Well, that just sticks out at me against, again, a Michigan State team that is terrible against the pass.
I don't want to say I'm going to do it for sure. You might have me convinced here, though, which I hate to say I'm going to do it for sure, because I think then somebody that's close to me in our DraftKings league might, you know, do the same thing to try to negate my points. But hey, I think you might have me convinced. So I'm a 50-50 on something I wasn't even thinking about before.
All right, well, one last game to talk about today. We got the number 3 Alabama Crimson Tide, 10-1 at Auburn, 6-5, 2:30 p.m. on CBS. Wall.
Hey, Alabama -19.5, over under a 56, Auburn +750. Now, I don't want next week when this doesn't happen, I don't want everybody writing me and emailing me, tweeting me, calling me on the phone at midnight, telling me, hey, you're an idiot. But Woj, I'm gonna take Auburn +750 in this one. I'm going to take Auburn to beat Alabama. I mean, we're talking about a football team that is 6-5. I get it. You know, they got a lot of losses. Bama's only got that one loss on their record to Texas A&M, if I'm not mistaken, Moj. And the problem I see with this is the Iron Bowl. I mean, this is a rivalry, Woj. This is a big game. Even the lines makers themselves are telling you this is a big game. Over under of only 56. It's going to be a close, hard-fought game. I think that you have good money on Auburn here. I don't think they win it, you know, every other time. I'm not saying that, but I think, you know, they win it more than one out of, you know, 9 times. So I'm going to take Auburn on this one on the money line and on the spread. If you looked at that game, if you watched the game last week, Alabama played Arkansas. They won 42-35, Woj. They were at home. When Auburn played Arkansas, they also won, but they're playing Arkansas on the road. And they also won that game 38-23. So they beat Arkansas more than Alabama did, and they were on the road. And I'll argue that Arkansas was a better team at the time. They were a hotter team. So this 19.5 point spread, I mean, it's really just Bama love saying that, hey, Bama's got to win this game. So, you know, they look good to make the playoffs, I guess. That's the reason for it. But I'm really liking Auburn, Woj.
Well, this is going to be the 86th Iron Bowl. Can you believe that? That's awesome. That's awesome to think about it. I mean, it's nuts. Most of the time, obviously, Alabama's ranked. The last time that Auburn was ranked going into this, I can't even look back that far. I'm trying to look at it right now. I'm just scrolling.
You mean unranked, right?
Yeah. Auburn was ranked seventh in the nation against Alabama, who was number two at the time, and the 39th. That was 1974. No. I'm sorry. They were ranked before that as well. We'll forget that part. But I was just trying to go back to see how many times it's been as close as a field goal, because I just remember Iron Bowls back since I was a kid just being – it was like a last-second field goal that either won it or lost it. I like your pick, Law. I think there's a real – go ahead.
Or it was returned for a touchdown, right?
Or returned for a touchdown. Yeah. Or the failed field goal was returned for a touchdown. That's true. But you know, this is such a rivalry game. If there's ever a rivalry game in college football, this is it. The Iron Bowl is iconic. Like I said, this is the 86th Iron Bowl, which is awesome. And Auburn always plays tough. This is one of those tough games for Alabama every single year. They haven't played well, and their defense is susceptible to points this year. I can see Auburn holding tough. I don't like Bo Nix. I've never really liked Bo Nix, but I feel like they can manage it enough where they can score some points in Alabama and get this tight. I mean, we saw LSU hold an Alabama team tight, which if LSU can do it, Auburn can do it, Wall. So I do like your pick. I think Auburn really does have a chance at this. I think it's going to be closer to the 19.5. It's not going to be my pick'em. I'll give you a little sneak peek into that, but I do like that. As far as DFS goes, Alabama salaries are just inflated through the roof. I don't think I'm going to take a single player from Alabama in this game, Law.
That makes sense to me, man. And plus, you got an over-under of 56, which if I had to pick a side, I won't put money on it. But if I had to pick a side, gun to my head, I'm taking the under in this one. So, yeah, DFS, stay away from it. That makes sense. Real good decision there.
All right, well, one other guy I just want to keynote in on is a running back, and that's Chase Brown from Illinois. He's only 5,800. Illinois is only slated to score 25 points this week, so it's not a huge play, but the thing about it is they're playing against Northwestern, who is one of the worst rushing Ds on the slate. There's other bad rushing defenses, which is Virginia Tech versus Virginia, but Virginia Tech doesn't run the ball that much. You have Virginia, who... and against Virginia Tech, obviously, again, and Virginia Tech has a pretty bad run D, but Virginia has a committee of running backs, and it's basically whoever's hot that day, so good luck picking one out of the four they have. Each of them have scored at least 30 points in a game, but then other games have scored like two, so I'm staying away from that. Wake Forest gives up a lot of yards, but if I was going to pick anybody from Boston College, it'd be their quarterback, Phil Jokovic, at 7,800. Because he does run the ball, he's kind of a a dual threat kind of guy, but I'm not sure I'm pretty sold on that either. The thing about it is Brown is cheap. It's 5,800. He's scored over 30-plus points in certain games this year. He's playing against a Northwestern team that's terrible. Again, they're only slated for 25 points, but I've seen Illinois be able to do it before. They beat Penn State. I like Chase Brown this week. Cheap, just another option, Will.
Hey, well, just... Illinois Northwestern, so you know it's not in the slate for gambling. I guess I'll have to look into maybe putting Chase Brown on my team. I don't know. It's hard for me to take someone from Illinois.
Yeah. All right. Well, last week, while I had Michigan minus 14.5, they won easily on that one. You had Oregon plus 3.5. Unfortunately, that did not come true with Utah beating them 38-7. Walt, what's this week going to be for you?
With Utah beating them 38-7. You just had to shove that in there, huh, Woj? I can't wait till I win this DraftKings league. Man, am I going to have that? I'm going to have a hot mic for a couple minutes talking to you.
Okay.
Yeah, to bring that up. All right, this week I'm going to jump over to Georgia State, Woj. They're playing Troy this week. They're given 6.5. They're laying 6.5. This, you might get a little better number on this because the way things are moving. As of now, the best I can find is 6.5. So I'm going to take Georgia State 6.5, minus 6.5. I hope they beat Troy. I'm going to go with it. I think I'm better at the group of six. So that's where I'm laying this week.
All right. No dog this week, Wall. Interesting. Taking the favorite.
The dogs.
All right.
Dogs are screwing me, Woj. Oregon. Nope.
All right, well, so I had my pick in here originally as Penn State plus one. One of the books had it at plus. They were minus on a couple others. It's basically a pick 'em between Penn State and Michigan State. I like the Penn State just being able to score points on the terrible Michigan State defense, and Penn State's actually done pretty fairly well against the run against good teams like Iowa and Wisconsin already. So I feel like they can handle the Kenneth Walker run game of Michigan State. But, and while you're going to kill me for this, because here's the circumstance. Iowa has to win this weekend, has to win on Friday. Wisconsin would have to lose, and Iowa goes to the Big Ten championship game. But my fiance is a big Badger fan. So she told me, Badger, 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 before I came in to do this podcast. So I have to take him for her. This is not my pick. This is my fiance's. It's Wisconsin -6.5 over Minnesota.
Well, I wish my heart just like stopped there for a minute. Had to get that back. I mean, that's it. I've been putting money all year long. I've been putting money on your pick'em, right? And I'm not going to say it's a full unit every time, but I've been putting money on your pick'em. Under no circumstances am I laying Wisconsin -6.5 this week, Woj. I got my Minnesota Gophers jersey rush ordered from Amazon getting here because I'm going to be cheering for the Gophers like none other, Woj. And you using that as an excuse. You're a big Ohio, Iowa State fan, and you don't want Iowa
to make it. No. Here's the thing. While you ordered your Minnesota jersey, I got a PJ Fleck face mask to put on, Wall. So I'm going to be cheering against Wisconsin, but that is my pick'em for the week for all you rundown fans. You can take that. I gave you another one. I gave you the Penn State game, but you can take the Wisconsin. That's going to be my pick'em for the week.
Don't
I'm going to be wearing my PJ Fleck full-on face gear for this game, Wall.
You better pop your collar, too.
And I hate PJ Fleck, too, but yeah, I'm wearing it. I already got the bald head. I'm good to go. I'll be rowing the boat all the way to a victory for Minnesota Wall this weekend.
Go Gophers.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram's college_football_rundown. Our website, which you can get all our podcasts and information and contact me and Kyle on, is collegefootballrundown.com. Thanks again for listening, everybody. I'm Woj.
I'm Walt.
And this was the College Football Rundown. We're out.